Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at jwright929ESPN. As always, I want to thank you for listening on 92.9 FM or 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio dial, you can stay up to date with everything happening here. You can listen live anytime, anywhere on the Odyssey app. Free to download, free to listen. You can even listen on demand with the Rewind feature. Dennis Fuller's producer of the program for us. Glad that he is with us. My company, as he is each and every Tuesday and Friday on the program, is, of course, the host of VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast, VSiN's College Football Betting Tailgate Show. I presume we'll find out if we're still having one on Saturday. I would presume we're still having one. Also, VSiN Primetime. You can download the VSiN app, and you can listen anytime, watch anywhere, from the VSiN app on Twitter, on X, at one Tim Murray. Tim, good day, sir.
It is a good day. My wife and son flew American Airlines over the weekends. And I'm eating one of the lovely biscotti cookies right now.
Were any of their flights delayed?
No, I don't think so. No, I think they
were. Wow, shout out to American.
Yeah, they had pretty smooth travels outside of, I believe, my son on one of the connections utilized the vomit bag. But other than that, all in all, I think pretty good week for the Murray team on their travels eastward for the holiday season. And, you know, speaking of the holiday season, we got breaking news. Two bowl games have been announced. The Hawaii Bowl will be South Florida versus San Jose State, and the Salute to Veterans Bowl, which is 11 days from now.
Hang on. Let me see if I can guess where this one is. Is this the one that's played at Navy Stadium?
No. Good guess. No, good guess.
Is this the one that's played at the TCU Stadium? No, that's Lockheed Martin.
Yeah.
I
don't know if you're going to get this one.
Yeah, you got me.
It's the one played in Montgomery, Alabama.
Oh, so the artist formerly known as the Camellia Bowl.
Correct. Yes, that is now the Salute to Veterans Bowl, and that will be South Alabama taking on Western Michigan. So we got bowl games, baby. We got a whole lot going on.
Back to your travels. One of my new favorite party tricks is anytime someone starts ranting about travel delays and issues, my new party trick is, did you fly American? Because it's like 95%. Because one of my all-time favorite American Airlines stats from 2023 was Southwest Airlines had two separate incidents in which their computers went out and basically did not fly for 48 hours multiple times. American still had more delays and cancellations in the year 2023. Do you realize how hard that is to do?
I'm just happy. I'm more of a Southwest guy. That's kind of our go-to here out of out of lovely Vegas. We're I think we're a Southwest hub.
But I believe the term, Tim, is focus city. Southwest doesn't have hubs because everything, you know, they're point to point.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
hey, look at you. Did you work in the airlines?
I'm fascinated by the airline industry. Like the airline travel logistics, airports. I can give you airport reviews. I've always been all about that life. My wife's a Delta person, and so I'm born and raised in Memphis, and forever we were the Northwest Airlines hub for like the central part of the country. So I could fly anytime, anywhere, basically whenever I wanted. Also, my dad was a traveling sales guy, so we had all the points, all the status, so it was super easy. Delta, of course, buys Northwest out of bankruptcy. We're not going to shut down the hub. Wink, wink. You know what we mean. Shuts down the hub. We go from like 275 flights a day to like 50, and I've just held a personal vendetta against Delta, but my wife like thinks of them as a luxury liner, and so I've now tried to, because everyone now just flies Delta if they can, so you're fighting for status and upgrades out of Memphis, and so my whole deal is, why don't we zig when everybody zags? We don't travel enough. We might be able to get an upgrade on United. We obviously had to rule out American. And I'm like you. I have no problem with Southwest. We just don't have a ton of Southwest flights. You're connecting somewhere. But and my deal is like, okay, well, if we're going to try to go international at some point, let's try to bank up some miles. So I've talked her into United. She's lukewarm at best, but I am, at least I get to have my pride. And my lifelong vendetta against Delta continues. I've hated them literally since I was like 9 years old.
I didn't know what I was walking into.
And yeah.
I'm very happy that I open Pandora's box there.
I got airport takes for days for you, but I'll spare you some of those. All right, let's
tell you what. The best thing that I've ever invested in is the American Express to get their Centurion Lounge.
Oh yeah,
oh baby, now that's living luxury, man.
That was another. Took. I want to say it was like 2 years into our marriage, and like I'd been begging her for us to switch to Amex, and then she finally switched and she's like, what took so long? I was like, you know, it took so long. You did. That's what took so long.
When I was doing the bowl games last year, I connected. I was going from Vegas to lovely Shreveport for the Independence Bowl, and I stopped in Dallas and they had a Centurion Lounge. Man, your boy was feeling good.
Now the 3 problem hours is, the problem is they're cracking down. They're cracking down. So which Amex do you have?
I don't know, the silver one.
Okay, so you might still be okay. Like they're now like cracking down to like too many people. They were getting flooded with the lounges were getting flooded, so they've been cracking down. So us peasants with green cards, yeah, I'm gold, whatever. I think I'm gold. Yeah, we don't get any of that. Let's talk some college football. We'll start with that. I want to get your thoughts on, this was your first trip to the Coliseum, correct?
It was, yeah, yeah.
We'll discuss that. We'll get into our college football awards from Rivalry Week. Easy for me to say. We'll get into the list. There's a few things in NFL we got to talk about. Tim and I both had Browns +7 last night, and we want to discuss whether or not we were right or we got what we deserved. So we want to discuss that. I want to talk some about the Texans' talking points about the Shazier suspension. There's a lot of things that are going on that I've noticed in the world, and it's really annoying, and I'm hoping it doesn't catch fire, but I want to discuss that with you. We've had a Rookie of the Month award for Jalen Wells, so we'll discuss that. We got some cup games tonight, maybe predict the rankings later on during hour number two. We'll tell your story, and then we will get out of here. But let's start first with college football, and before we get to... Let's start with the Coliseum. Does it annoy you that they call it a Coliseum and it's not round? Things have to matter. Words must mean something.
It was pretty cool. So I'll try to dive into all of the nooks and crannies. So I drive out Friday with a buddy of mine, and we stay in...
By the way, low-key worst drive of the world. LA Vegas, not a fun drive.
Not awesome. Drive back was worse.
Yep.
Because my co-pilot fell asleep. So I was kind of doing the old smack the face, like, stay awake here.
Yeah.
At least my Rainbow Warriors got us to the window for our season win total. Shouts to my guy, Timmy Chang. But so we stayed in Manhattan Beach on Friday night, which was awesome. That is a cool-ass town.
Yeah, Manhattan Beach is great.
I need to bring the fam there. Need to spend a weekend plus there. Super cool. So really enjoyed that. Drove to the Coliseum on Saturday morning, and we get there, and the mistake that we made is we should have just bought parking, like a parking pass, prior to arrival, which we did not think ahead. I just figured there'd be plenty of lots. So
that was a mistake.
This was hilarious. So we're driving. So we go into this area.
Hold on. You know, parking in LA is like a thing.
Yeah.
There's none of it.
We didn't really think ahead. We had so many. We were ahead of the game on so many things. Like, we had the setup for my Saturday show. We were looking good. You know, I busted out the hotspot. Didn't really have much of a hiccup technologically.
That's a win. That's a huge win.
I'm sitting there, and the guy I went on the trip with, he gives me, like, this iced coffee, like, out of a thermos. I'm like, what the hell is this? And it was phenomenal. I'm like, we were nailing everything, you know? And then we're driving, and we go into this area right in front of the Coliseum, and the attendant is like, do you have a parking pass? We're like, no, but we have a $100 bill. And she was like, no.
No can do.
Damn. All right. So we just started driving. And we see these people along the street just have cardboard signs that say parking. So we're like, what's the deal? He's like, you guys need parking? Yeah. He's like, all right, follow me.
Never good when it feels like you're making a drug deal when you're trying to get a parking, yes.
But this dude, I give him all the credit in the world, hustling his butt off, jumps on his bike and is like, come on, follow me. They're like, oh man, is this going to end poorly? Thankfully, it's daytime, so it's not like a night game. And we pull into this little spot, and we park right there. We give him like $50, and we hang out for a couple hours before the game, drink some beers, whatever. Go into the Coliseum. I have befriended Cody Kessler,
okay,
former USC quarterback, and he's like, "Hey, man, doing my pregame show on the field. I'll have field passes for you." Walk down the steps of the Coliseum. Cody Kessler sees me. He's like, yo, gives me the passes. Me and him take a picture. He does fight on. I do the opposite down. We have a little fun with it. Walk around the stadium, see Joe Montana. No big deal. And
he used to go to Pepperdine basketball games, weirdly.
He looks old, man.
Yeah, well, he was, you could tell when I was in college, he was very bored. Like, to go from where he lived to just drive to Malibu just to go watch horrific basketball, like that's when you're bored.
And then we were a little bit further away from the action, but all in all, pretty cool. Wish it was a night game because it just all the kind of Notre Dame USC games over the years that I've watched are at night. But it was actually a really entertaining game. USC probably moved the ball a little bit more than I wanted. But a couple pick sixes in the final 3 minutes of the game were lovely, and anyone who had USC plus 7.5, that was a rather tough beat. Yeah, I would look. It wasn't even despite you.
It was literally. No. It was just like I was like, I'm getting a hook. I'm taking it.
And it was the right side. It really was. I mean, they had a chance to tie the game up, you know, late in the fourth quarter, and
I even said this like to my wife. I was like, I want SC to score. I want them to go for two, and I want them to miss so that Tim gets the win. Tim didn't bet the game. I know he didn't bet the game. Nope. There's no way. He'll leave happy. Everybody's happy.
We would have all been happy. But, yeah, it's old, obviously. Caleb Williams was there to have his number retired, which was kind of hilarious considering Matt Eberflus just got fired and everything that unfolded on Thanksgiving. But it was a cool stadium. Crowd was pretty good.
How many times they play the stupid fight song?
It didn't bug me, so I guess I just didn't notice it all that much.
You must not have ADHD, because every SC game I've ever been to, like, it could be a great song, but they overplay it so much that I'm like, no.
Yeah, the one thing that's kind of weird is, like, you've been there, right?
Yes. So, I've not been there since they've done the new
press, whatever, suites, since that massive, like, $500 million renovation, but I've been there.
When you walk in to the concourse, you don't feel like, it's like a concourse outside, and you walk through a big-ass tunnel to get to your seats. So if you've got to hit the head, you got to book it. Like, I was like, all right, timeout on the field. I'm out. And I was like, whoom, ran out. But, yeah, pretty cool venue. Still haven't been to the Rose Bowl. I don't plan on going to just a UCLA game. If I'm going to the Rose Bowl, I got to go to the big boy.
The granddaddy of them all.
But, yeah, it was cool. You know, Notre Dame winning, clinching their playoff berth was lovely. And the weather was phenomenal. So, all in all, pretty thumbs-up experience going to the L.A. Coliseum. And I was curious how many O.J. Simpson jerseys I
didn't see any.
No, I saw a couple.
Wow. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I was like,
I kind of like that guy.
I was looking down in the we were up in like the 200 level. We were in the corner of one end zone, and I looked down, and that's where they had like the Audi, you know, rich people area.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, there would be a guy down there wearing a O.J. Simpson jersey.
Yeah. How happy do you think the Bills are that Josh Allen has broken OJ's touchdown record? Like, that's what I always think about. All right, so let's talk some other big picture thing, because as you mentioned, Notre Dame punches its ticket. And listen, I'm not saying that I talked you all the way back, but I do vividly remember going on the record, even after the Northern Illinois loss, I still said they ain't dead.
Yeah, I think we've
forgotten that losses happen.
Yeah. No, it was a great call by you, and I think my concern was,
if they could lose to you and I, they could lose to other teams.
Right, and, you know, how would they turn it around? And they, you know, to their credit, they've turned it around. They've dealt with a little attrition.
A little?
A lot of attrition. They did get good news today. Jeremiah Love, it sounds like he should be fine. There was worries that it was a pretty significant injury that he sustained against USC. But we'll get into this more certainly next week. But the path is everything. I mean, the bracket is going to be everything for whatever team you're looking to back, whether it be Tennessee, Notre Dame, whoever. You know, your path to the championship or the Final Four is kind of going to be everything. But, yeah, I mean, I thought they would struggle. I thought Notre Dame, after the NIU game, would have a hiccup at some point. And I was confident it wouldn't be Navy or Army, even though everyone was telling me, oh, you know, they're undefeated. I'm like, no, that's not happening.
Not this era.
But I thought it was gonna be Georgia Tech. And if Haynes King played, maybe it would have been Georgia Tech. But
although I tend to think where Notre Dame got fortunate, and I'm not saying like, oh, they're lucky, like they're fake. Like, I think you can make a case that Notre Dame's being under discussed, because despite having every possible excuse in the world, like they've legitimately gotten better. And like, I actually think like we're not talking about them as an elite team, because they actually have an elite unit. Their defense is an elite unit. The teams that I thought would give them trouble were passing attacks, and they just didn't really see. Like, there's a reason why I took SC. It's because, well, that was the best passing attack they saw, and
they had
squirrely.
Success. Yeah, they had success, but I thought there were moments. I thought Lincoln Riley, stop me if you heard this before, got too cute. Right, their first drive of the game, they're facing fourth and two, and they throw a bubble screen, and Notre Dame was able to sniff it out. They get a 1 yard gain. I mean, Notre Dame, for the most part,
I hate RPOs. RPOs just say, we want you to throw the bubble screen. We're going to give you a look to where you have to throw the bubble screen.
You know, it's funny. Notre Dame doesn't do bubble screens. They do tunnel screens.
I'm a bigger tunnel guy.
Yeah. Which is like, I feel like they don't lead to a ton of yards, but I feel like they don't lose a ton of yards. I don't know if that
makes problem
sense.
Is you have to have much more athletic linemen. That's kind of the idea. But my deal is, I would rather have linemen blocking against linebackers than have receivers blocking against linebackers. And so that's a football scheme podcast. We can discuss that. But I think this is kind of where I want to go, because we're now into peak politicking season, and it hasn't really begun yet because, you know, Sankey's fired up Twitter, but he hasn't started really working the room like he will this weekend. But I do actually have this question. If the playoff were seeded like the NCAA tournament, do you think it would look any different? Because I think on the one hand, okay, so if it's seeded like the NCAA tournament, basically what we know is you're going to get four, you'll get four automatic bids, and then the fifth, the highest ranked G5. And again, if it were the NCAA tournament, hey, everyone would get a bid. But we're saying, okay, that one bid counts for all of G5. That's basically the same setup we have, right?
Yeah, the only difference is the teams who get the auto bids aren't insured buys, right? So the unique nature of this playoff is going to be that when we see the rankings tonight, Penn State's going to be 3, Notre Dame's going to be 4, and neither one of those teams, I guess Penn State could earn it this weekend, excuse me, but neither one of those teams are going to get a bye, and we could see a team like Clemson, who lost on Saturday to South Carolina, get a bye in the first round, which is pretty wild to envision. So,
I mean, I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's kind of what I think is...
Let me say this
with Clemson.
Yep.
If Clemson wins and gets in, I am very fearful that is what leads to... We're going to just see that this thing just really exists for the SEC and the Big Ten to redistribute most of the money to themselves, and they're going to fix it the way that they want it. And really, honestly, at this point, it's kind of more SEC than it is Big Ten, because the Big Ten's pretty clean cut.
Yep.
And so, like, they're not going to really have a ton of gripes. But where, I guess this is kind of where I've struggled holding these two thoughts. Ole Miss, Alabama, don't lose to Vanderbilt, don't lose to Kentucky. You're in. And I agree with that. Mm-hmm. I do think, though, what is completely different about the SEC, and I think at times I have always felt like SEC bravado is probably misplaced, because I've always largely felt the best team in the SEC, that's a team I'll ride with. Like, maybe they don't always win the national championship, but I'm going to come up on the right side more than I am the wrong side. But that's usually the best team. It's the rest of the league where I was like, man, there's a lot of meh. If you look at the SEC this year with 16 teams, there's only one team that is truly dreadful, and they went 0-8. The other 15 teams, and again, this is a power rating, but it's SP Plus, and it's some measure of how good of a team are you. 14 of the 16 SEC teams are top 31 or better. Oklahoma's at 31. Then you have Vanderbilt at 58. But to me, the key difference is the SEC, the middle of the road SEC roster, the salary cap is way harder than the rest of the league. And so I kind of get annoyed when I see Herb Street tweeting out, oh, Syracuse 9-3. Turns out the ACC is pretty good after all. It's like, no, kind of what happened was the other leagues had a lot of really bad teams and everybody beat those teams, and it propped up, like, Syracuse is probably like a 7-win team that they flip a game and then they get the right breaks and all of a sudden they're 9-3. Well, where I do think the SEC does have a gripe is going to Wake Forest on a Thursday night is not the same as going to Oklahoma, who's at the bottom of your league, on a Saturday night. Like, you just have a much better chance of losing that game.
I agree, and I'll start preface it this way. I think the SEC is undoubtedly the best conference in the country, period, end of story.
I've never felt more confident saying that that's true this year than I do in any other year.
Mississippi State is awful. Kentucky is bad. And Ole Miss, you lost to Kentucky.
Yes.
Right?
At home.
That's bad, right?
It's a 17-point favorite, something like that?
And the thing that, you know, me in this gambling world... Where now, and you know, Saban was doing it a couple of years ago. You're going to hear the what would Ole Miss be on a neutral versus SMU? What would Alabama be versus, you know, SMU or Miami? Okay, if you want to use that argument, then you got to use the same argument. What was Alabama when they went on the road to Oklahoma? They were a 2-touchdown favorite, they lost by 3 touchdowns. What was Alabama when they went on the road to Vanderbilt. They were north of three touchdowns.
I think it was 24, 24 and a half, right. Something like that.
So it's like they messed up, right? They lost these games. Alabama, to your point, they beat Oklahoma as a two-touchdown favorite on the road against a team at the time was under 500. You're getting into the playoff. So the crazy thing for me is I'm so curious to find out what the committee does tonight, because last week Alabama dropped six spots when they lost as a two-touchdown favorite on the road at Oklahoma. Miami lost as an 11-point favorite on the road at Syracuse.
Yeah, they did.
Technically, they did. Technically, Alabama's loss is worse. They were a bigger favorite if you want to play that game. Are they dropping six spots? Are they dropping five spots? Because as of last week, Miami was sixth. Alabama was 13th. I think at the end of the day, Alabama jumps Miami. But then I also asked a question about South Carolina.
This is the one. Okay, you're going to have to really convince me because this is the one I really struggle with.
So South Carolina, I am here for all of the arguments because I think at the end of the day, no matter if it was in September or in November, head-to-head has to matter. You played the game, one team won, one team lost. So I have a hard time having South Carolina jumping both Ole Miss and Bama. That said, if you want to play the game of how bad was your worst loss, well, Ole Miss lost to Kentucky. Alabama lost to Oklahoma and Vanderbilt. Both are 6-6. South Carolina lost at home to LSU, where they were robbed by the officiating.
And their quarter, and Sellers did get
and
hurt.
And Sellers
in that
got
game.
Hurt. They got smoked by Ole Miss, and they lost by two on the road to Alabama. They've won six in a row. They beat Missouri. They beat Texas A&M, smashed them, and may or may not have beaten the ACC champ on the road this past weekend. I don't think South Carolina is getting in, but I understand why people are arguing that they're playing really good football down the stretch. Oh, by the way, they went to Oklahoma and won by 26 points, and Alabama lost by 21 there. So
I will throw out the caveat.
You work yourself in the knots here.
Say it works both ways, though. That was when Venables had the I'm going to play the emotional.
Yeah,
I'm playing the wrong quarterback, and then Arnold played, and the quarterback thing can work both ways. Like they got a break. South Carolina gets a break in that game because Oklahoma is clearly a better football team with Jackson Arnold than with I've already forgotten his name.
But I think to me the most interesting.
My point though on that one is, I am fine comparing resumes if you don't have clear, like, to me it's like, all right, they're all 9-3, they're 5-3 in the league, one team lost to both of the teams, one team lost by 24 to one of them and it wasn't even close with Sellers, and then the other one was Alabama jumped up big and then here comes South Carolina charging hard. But like I have a tough time saying that head-to-head does not matter. If we had a situation where those three teams all went 1-1 against each other, then I'm saying, all right, let's look at it. But I just do not understand how one team has the same record, same conference record, and you're putting them above two teams that they lost to.
No, I agree. And once again, that's not my point. I think they should be behind both of them. I think they will be behind both of them. But the biggest question that I have moving forward is going to be what happens if/when SMU loses to Clemson. Because that is where it gets really, really weird. And you're looking at an SMU team who went undefeated in ACC play. They're 11-1. And tonight, they are going to be number 8. You're going to tell me that while Alabama and Ole Miss, and Miami, and South Carolina did not earn a spot to play in a championship game, SMU did, and if they lose, they should drop out of the field while Alabama should get into the field. I think that is going to cause absolute chaos. And I know everybody out there keeps referencing the betting odds. I work for a betting network. They don't know crap.
No, it's just mad. They're playing probabilities.
They're playing probabilities, and everybody's like, well, Vegas must know something. No, they don't. They had Florida State as a massive favorite to make the playoff the moment they beat Louisville last year. And then by Saturday morning, the odds had flipped when people were like, are we sure this is going to happen? I think Alabama's going to get in there. Both SMU and Bama are minus 250 to make the playoff. Well, let me tell you something. SMU is only a minus 135 favorite to beat Clemson. So the math is a little bit off. And Brett McMurphy from the Action Network said last night on my show, the cleanest way for the committee to come to a solution with this whole thing is if SMU loses a close game on Saturday night, because Clemson will get the auto bid of the ACC, SMU will get an at-large, and Bama, South Carolina, Ole Miss, Miami, all adios, they're not getting in. And I would agree with that. People disagree with me. People are telling me, well, who does ESPN want with the eyeballs and all this and that? I understand the conspiracy theory to an extent, but I think to knock SMU from number 8 to out of the field when Alabama doesn't play a game. Remember, last year Alabama beat the number 1 team in the country to get into the playoff. Here, they would be idle, and SMU would have lost their second game, not their third game, on a neutral against Clemson. As long as it's not a blowout, I think Alabama fans need to be enormous SMU fans on Saturday night.
Okay, so I agree with that premise of if you're just trying to seed the field this year. I agree with Brett. Here is my fear. My fear is that this is not a national college football championship. This is a invitational from the SEC and the Big Ten, and they think they're playing nice. And if you wind up with Clemson or Miami in that spot, and that takes away one of their spots, the SEC, I think that you're going to see drastic changes that will make everyone not feel good about this.
I think drastic changes are coming regardless. I think after 2026, it's all going to be
completely
different. Well, I think we get one more year of 12 is my guess, and then it's going to be very, very different.
I think Sankey will just threaten. We're just going to go start our own thing. Like, in the end, why did Alabama get in last year? Well, there was some messiness because of the head-to-head with Texas. But in the end, it was Greg Sankey saying, you're not leaving them out. The SEC champion will not be left out. And the SEC will not be left out. That is my fear. I'm not defending it. And this is why when this is what kind of drives me insane. Because, and then God forbid, if you have Clemson get beat and then they put in Miami, well, then you're like Miami. Well, they didn't play in the game. What, like, you'll hear all that noise.
I don't think Miami's getting in. I think
where Miami's ranked tonight is also like the list of things that we're interested in. I'm highlighting where Miami falls to
100%. If Miami's ahead of Alabama, it's a big uh-oh, right? Because neither play.
Well, also right now,
here's what you could say is, what if Georgia goes out and beats Texas? Then Alabama says, well, we beat the SEC champ.
So did Ole Miss.
I know.
This is the other thing that I guess has been a little annoying to me, and I don't particularly care because in the end, I go back to the original point that I had.
Don't lose three games.
Don't lose three games. Don't lose Kentucky. I do not understand why Alabama is just getting pushed past Ole Miss. It doesn't. Like, to me, it's like their losses are pretty similar. Like, honestly, right now, neutral field, way Florida's playing, Oklahoma's playing, who's favored? Because I think it's Florida.
Florida, yeah, I agree.
And Kentucky and Vanderbilt played, like, the week after, and it was like Vanderbilt ends up winning, but it was one of those gross, like, 17-10 games. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't, like, decisive one way or the other. Both have beaten Georgia. Both have beaten South Carolina. I guess the difference you could say is that Bama beat the heck out of LSU, whereas Ole Miss didn't. And Ole Miss's like non-con was Wake, while Bama's was 5-7 Wisconsin.
Yeah, they went to Wisconsin, who ended up not making a bowl game.
Correct. And their quarterback got hurt in the second series. I don't know. I do sense everybody getting creeped.
But they beat Western Kentucky, who could win the CUSA 63-0.
You know what I hate about this weekend? I like almost every dog. Except that one's kind of one where can I give you
a little note here on this weekend, which is exciting. I went back just the last 3 years, and we had 10 conference championship games, each in 21, 22, and 23, fans in the stands, all of that. We had at least 5 games each week that the point spread was 6 or higher. This weekend, highest point spread, 5.5.
So Army's down to 5.5?
Army's down to, 4.5. Looks like a little Army money hit the market today. Every game, Oregon's 3.5, SMU's 2.5, Texas 2.5, Miami of Ohio 2.5, Arizona 2, Boise State 3, Jacksonville State 3, 3.5. Like, every game is a coin toss this weekend.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll talk about Rivalry Week. We'll get into our awards from last week. We'll do that next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The holidays, of course, are the biggest season to get engaged, and Robert Irwin Jewelers is the number one place to buy diamond engagement rings. And I'm not just speaking as an endorser, I am speaking as a customer. You get more choices at Robert Irwin Jewelers. They have an enormous collection of both natural and lab-grown diamonds in all shapes and sizes. They can even make designing your custom-made engagement ring risk-free and easy. That's what we did with my wife's engagement ring. That's what Connor did with his wife's engagement ring. And you can do so with peace of mind with the Mint to Be guarantee. And honestly, the Mint to Be guarantee is not because they're trying to entice you, they're trying to get you into something. they're that confident that you're going to like what you buy. Honestly, I actually think they're meant to be guarantees for the guys that are buying the rings. You just want to know, like, hey, I don't really know what I'm doing here. Like, I just want to have a little extra peace of mind. You can do so. And that means that if you're unhappy with your ring, you have a full 365 days to return it, full purchase price, no questions asked. Robert Irwin Jewelers is also the only place to get the Daphne diamonds. It's a one-of-a-kind collection, a combination of fashion-forward modern diamond architecture with traditional diamond-cutting techniques to create a diamond that shines visible and brighter. You can also, you can't get it anywhere else. It's only at Robert Irwin Jewelers. It's so special that Howie named it after his daughter. Also, check out Free Ring Sizing for Life, the free jewelry spa service for life. You can also ask her now and pay later with great financing options like 24 months deferred interest or take up to 60 months to pay at a low APR. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices, all at Robert Irwin Jewelers. You can shop in-store or online at rijewelers.com. All right, Tim, let's get into the week that was during Rivalry Week. I think let's start with our team of the week. And honestly,
Memphis.
I'm telling you, what I watched with Tulane made me think about some Army, because Tulane looked very cold on Thursday night. And Memphis, like, to me, Memphis was game. Like, they looked like the team that was ready to go, ready to play. I understand Tulane had more to play for. Tulane also had some turnover problems. But the biggest, the number one indicator for Tulane all year has been, do they stop the run and they run the football? They did not stop the run, and they did not run the football, and Memphis absolutely cruised in the second half. The thing is, I want to give it to Michigan, but I don't even know if Michigan was good on Saturday. I think they just scored 13 points. Like, to me, it said way more about Ohio State than it did about Michigan. But unless you got another, team that comes to top of mind, I'm giving it to Michigan.
I kind of love Michigan and what they did, and especially after Ryan Day had to, you know, stick it to Indiana late in that game to get the over. I also sort of want to give it to Syracuse, man.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with that. And Kyle but it all kind of comes back to Ohio. That's my point. Everything we'd say for team of the week, it all comes back to Ohio State, Kyle McCord, and Michigan.
The irony of it all, right? It was Kyle McCord who became this scapegoat. We got to get a new quarterback. We got to get this upgrade. Maybe they were going to get Cam Ward. They didn't. He goes to Miami. I think there was a late push to try to get, you know, Riley Leonard. That obviously did not happen.
I know that there were some backdoor dealings. Let's see. What is it? It's pre-portaling if you're doing it. It's tampering if it's done to you.
Mm-hmm.
They tried to get Jackson Dart too.
Yeah, I mean, they were trying. They didn't really want Will Howard. They were kind of settled on Will Howard. But Kyle McCord, man, give him credit. He was, I thought, unfairly kind of the scapegoat out there at in Columbus, and he balled out this year, man. Like, he runs into issues with turnovers, there's no doubt. But I give them a ton of credit for how they were able to turn things around. So. I'll agree with you on Michigan, but I think a secondary one certainly was Syracuse, as you know, these double digit dogs, man. Every single week this year in college football, at least one double digit dog won. We had a couple over the weekend. Memphis was a double digit dog. Syracuse was a double digit dog, and they came home. So, you know, the chaos of college football this year continued, and Rivalry Weekend was no different.
I kind of thought about maybe Wyoming, but then when you figure out, oh, Washington State had checked out, their coordinator left done, like a month ago. Like, it's like, okay, maybe you just have to be on the field.
And I want to give it to Texas, too, because I doubted them, and I still have questions about their offense, but that defense is the real deal, man. And, like, when you're talking about a team that has two goal line stands, you know, gets a punt blocked against them, and they give up essentially nothing in that second half, I'll give them some credit, because I thought that defense, I had a lot of questions about Texas. You know, who have they beaten? And Texas A&M's not probably going to be ranked after their loss again to Texas. But I actually came away defensively. I still have questions offensively, but defensively, I'm like, yeah, they're legit.
Well, A&M will be ranked if they need to put South Carolina up higher.
That's a good point. I mean, A&M staying at number 25 helps out South Carolina, Texas, Notre Dame. who else is the help? I guess Auburn doesn't really matter. But, yeah, there's always those funny ones out there. Now, they could also keep put Louisville back in there.
Yeah.
Because who beat Louisville? Miami, SMU, Notre Dame. So what? However they're trying to craft their narrative here, I think you'll see either Louisville or Texas A&M pop into the top 25.
All right, for dumpster fire of the week, we could do Oklahoma State. We could do Arizona.
Oh, my God.
How is it not Ryan Day? Because what's your excuse this year? You know, you scapegoat Kyle McCord. You claim that they're cheating. You hire your brother as a private investigator to look into cheating from Michigan. And then you go, and as a 20-point favorite, 20. And honestly, I was thinking about this if you're an Ohio State fan. What are we paying him for? Because, like, that's a broad kind of, I guess, antagonistic question if you want to say it. But this is what I really mean by that. You're not paying him to beat the rest of the Big Ten. The job does that. You're paying him to win this game. He cannot win this game. If he can't win this one, how can he win other ones when Michigan's not going to be down for very long?
So I do a podcast every Tuesday with a Ohio State fan. And I'll be honest, the previous years and his disdain for Ryan Day led me to be like, all right, buddy, you go 11-1 every year. Jim Harbaugh has it rolling. It is what it is. You guys are pretty darn good. But today when we recorded, I'm like, go for it, buddy. I'm like, you can go to town all you want because this team, it's inexcusable. And you miss two field goals. You try to say that you're tough. Well, whether you're tough or not, you've got superstars at wide receiver. Get them the football. And
well, they did that once, and they scored in like 60 seconds.
Right. Jeremiah Smith was the best player on the field on Saturday, and he had 5 catches for 35 yards and scored Ohio State's only touchdown. You have no excuse. There is no excuse. Oh, by the way, Michigan, in addition to the fact that they are down this year, they didn't have their two top pro prospects playing. Colston Loveland, their tight end, who's their entire offense, and Will Johnson, who is a stud corner, were both out, and you still lost at home. It's inexcusable, and I don't know what's going to happen. I'm just going to sit back and, you know, eat the popcorn, because do you agree with this? If the playoff was not expanded, Ryan Day would have been fired by now.
I think so. The one question that I do have is we are seeing across the country, no matter if you're a rich school, if you're somewhere in between, or if you're a poor school, like Trent Dilfer's coming back to UAB. Why? They don't want to pay the buyout. You could tell me with house settlement, everyone trying to get their ducks in a row, hey, we don't really want to stroke this $37 million check right now. That seems to be the general operating procedure from most schools. Like, if we look at the ones that made changes, it was ones that either had guys that were kind of on expiring
deals. It's like LSU, right? LSU, and I do a radio show in Wisconsin, and the morning show hosts were asking me, because they're not, you know, in tuned as we are. They're not sports hosts. And they're like, is Luke Fickell on the hot seat? And I said, no, not really, because he's got like a $35 million buyout.
40.1.
Is that what Luke Fickell's is?
Yep.
Yeah. And what's Kelly's? 46?
You mean Day's?
No. Brian Kelly.
Brian Kelly's is, you ready?
Yeah.
According to the USA database, 61.
So you do, Luke Fickell will do, well, he's already done it. He fired his OC. So you're going to get that. But yeah, with this whole NCAA lawsuit thing coming down the pipeline. But here's the thing for Ohio State, you know, boo bleeping who, because they're going to have a top 5 recruiting class. They're going to continue to spend in the portal and they'll be fine.
I guess so. That's my argument against Day. when day defenders, yeah, which
what would you which, say you're doing here, right? Like, well, I mean, like, the old Office Space line.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's like day defenders, which now basically are just his family.
there's not many day defenders.
They point to the record. It's like, yeah, average football coach would have that record. That's not what you're getting paid for. What you're getting paid for is the Michigan game. You're getting paid to win the Big Ten.
So let me ask you this. At what point in the postseason, because here's the thing, we've already hit on it. Ohio State can win the national championship.
Yeah,
I don't think they will. But
they are talented enough to win the national title.
100%. They have elite wide receivers, two really good running backs, a quarterback that's fine, and they've got Caleb Downs, who's probably the best damn player on the field every Saturday. Like, they've got dudes. They could win the national championship. Up until this week, this loss, they were the favorite to win the national championship. So they still have a ton of talent. They're still going to be power rated. And this is the thing, too, back to what I mentioned initially when, you know, SEC people are going to come out. What would Arizona State be against Alabama or Ole Miss? Yeah, but Alabama lost already as a 2-touchdown favorite, a 3-touchdown favorite. Ohio State was a 20-point favorite. Ohio State is a top 3 power rated team in the country, at worst top 4. But they've got issues on the offensive line, and you can cry all you want about Lou Holtz calling you out that you're not tough. Well, guess what? You're not tough. You're not. You just lost to Michigan, who has nothing offensively.
Yeah, I mean, that was the other thing. Davis Warren was like,
he threw a pick in the end zone. Like, late in the game.
I don't even know who, there was a guy open by like 5 yards. Like, it was unbelievable. It was, oh, God. But, I mean, like, that's kind of the other thing.
And Ryan, I'm here for it.
But, I mean, think about it in these terms. When Ryan Day, if the Ohio State job, if Urban Meyer would have gotten retired and they opened it up, Ryan Day does not get that job.
Nope.
He got handed the job.
Born on third baseman.
And this is always my argument when people are like, you're just going to really fire a guy that's got that many wins. I think average football coach has that many wins, and I think if you open up the Ohio State job, you are going to get a better coach.
If you're an Ohio State fan, do you want Mike Vrabel?
Probably not, because Vrabes has already said like he doesn't really want any part of recruiting, and I get that.
But can Vrabel – you want toughness, you'll get toughness with Vrabel.
Oh, you'll get a team with an identity.
And is Ohio State
good enough? By the way, Titans, how you doing?
Yeah, man, sharp guys love Tennessee on Sunday. They were down 21-0 in a millisecond to Washington. But is Ohio State a big enough job where Vrabel could come in and not really be the bulldog recruiter and let Hartline do it, who is phenomenal? Just hire a staff. And he's like, I'm just going to take care of the day-to-day. If you need me to kiss some babies, you know, I don't know if he needs to with the collective that they've got up there. I don't know. I do
hear what you're saying there. I think, though, with what recruiting's now become a blanket term is I don't want to have Jeremiah Smith go off for 200 yards on Saturday, come into my office on Sunday and go, where's my money?
Mm-hmm. No, I hear that. And he probably doesn't, because he's with all the NFL jobs open, he'll get an NFL job.
I would suspect that he's getting an NFL job. All right, my Heisman of the week. I know he had the fumble, but good God, you want to talk about leaving it all on the field. I thought Haynes King on Saturday night in Athens was just incredible. Like, he's not going to win a Heisman Trophy winner, but I thought the guy was incredible.
Dude can't throw a forward pass, and he's in clear pain.
He's just gutting it out.
I know. I love that dude, and I hate overtime. I hate the 8 overtimes. I don't know how to fix it. I think we should
do what we probably did in the first place. We should have just not listened to Twitter in 2016 when everybody started clutching their pearls about an LSU A&M game. Like, I am old enough to remember when Ole Miss and Arkansas went.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.